talking muscle versus fat during weight loss. We all want to lose the fat and show off toned and muscular arms, abs, and backs, but our bodies aren't really made to lose fat and build muscle at the same time. The processes are hardwired biologically so that we either gain muscle and fat when there's abundant food supply, and we lose both muscle and fat when the food supply is limited. I guess nobody told our bodies that we're living in times where food scarcity isn't an issue for many of us lucky enough to live in first world countries. I'm changing up the format of this lesson, discussing muscle and fat and weight loss, and doing more of a Q&A style. It's my way of clearing out all the clutter and getting to the bottom of what I want you to know. So here's a sneak peek at the questions I'm going to answer. What's the best way to lose weight and build muscle? How can I lose weight where I want? I'm getting leaner, but why isn't the scale budging? And why is my appetite stronger now that I'm strength training? So let's get to it. Question one, what's the best way to lose weight and build muscle? I always start this question with a question back to my clients. That is, are you sure you want to build muscle? Lots of time we want to lose the fat that's covering our muscles, but we don't necessarily want to build bigger or bulkier quads. In fact, most of my clients don't want to build big muscles. They want to be stronger and leaner, but not bulkier. If you want to build muscle, that is an anabolic process. You have to eat enough calories to fuel your muscle growth. It takes a lot of fuel to grow your muscles and to maintain big muscles. If you want to be stronger, but lean, and not necessarily build up your muscle size, you don't need to eat more to meet this goal. In both cases, whether you want to be bigger and leaner or slimmer and leaner, to lose the fat, you need to fuel yourself smarter. Maybe the question isn't about losing weight, but losing the fat that's covering the muscle. I can't tell you, in fact, nobody can tell you, that you can look shredded like Arnold back in his day and that you'll be able to eradicate all of the fat that hides your definition. How this translates with weight loss is not so straightforward. Have your clients look less at the number on the scale as a marker of their success and more how they look or their measurements. To lose fat, I have most of my clients cut down on the refined carbs and measure their healthy fats a little more precisely, and also make sure that they're getting enough protein and hydrating sufficiently. Then I make sure they're doing weight training. Higher, heavier weights are used to build muscle size, and lower, lighter weights create leaner muscles, and both contribute to strength building. Finally, I believe in cardio. I like everyone to get 30 to 60 minutes in a day for heart health, mental health, and weight-bearing benefits. The first 20 minutes of exercise, we burn off glycogen stores, and then we need to go longer to use fat for energy. So I recommend a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate cardio. I say moderate and not intense cardio deliberately because you need to be able to take good breaths into your lungs to switch from that glycogen for fuel to a fat for fuel metabolic pathway. Next question. I want to lose weight in my hips and thighs, but every time I lose weight, I lose it in my waist. How can I lose weight where I want to? Oh, how I wish we could pick and choose where our fat loss came from. Your clients might also refer to this as spot reduction. The totally unfair reality is that our genetics determine where we lose our fat, and there isn't much we can do about it. The research is pretty clear that the last place you store fat is the first place you'll lose it. So that's kind of helpful, right? If you bought a pair of pants at the beginning of the season and find that you can't get them past your thighs later in the season, you should be able to pull them up again if you're pretty diligent. Additional research says that belly fat is easier to lose than fat we carry in our thighs and rear ends. The fat we carry in our hips and thighs is important for childbearing and fertility, whereas belly fat doesn't serve as much of a purpose. What's also well known is that later in life, especially postmenopause, people tend to store weight in their midsection more than other areas. Next question. I'm fitting into clothing I haven't worn in years, which means I must be leaner, but the scale isn't budging. What gives? You know that old joke, what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of bricks? We all know that, right? They are both a pound. They weigh the same. I like to use that analogy when I'm talking about muscle and fat. A pound of muscle is denser and smaller than a pound of fat, which I equate to the feathers in this analogy. The fat mass takes up more space and is fluffier, for lack of a better word, than the lean body mass. I'm always willing to throw the scale out the window when it comes to this question. Scientists believe that lean body mass is a better predictor of health outcomes than BMI, especially in older adults. Your clients should expect to stay the same or even bump up a little, actually, on the scale if they're strength training, especially if that's new to them. Have them focus on a pair of pants, a dress, or a swimsuit rather than a goal weight number, and don't be afraid to measure them with a good old-fashioned measuring tape. Okay, final question. I'm skinny fat. I've been trying to tone up and get stronger, so I've been strength training. I noticed that my appetite is so much stronger now, though. Is that from exercise? The short answer is maybe, probably. Without knowing everything there is to know about you and what you're eating, I'll say that muscle is hard to maintain. It takes consistent strength training and fuel. Fat is relatively not metabolic. Fat mass just kind of sits there like a lump. Lean body mass, however, like muscle, is constantly burning and requires calories to maintain itself. So people with more muscle tend to be more metabolic and need more calories to maintain their gains. Hopefully, that answered many of the questions your clients are coming to you on this topic. Let's go through and do a lightning round so you really get this info down. Building muscle requires eating enough calories to fuel muscle growth, and building strength doesn't necessarily require increasing muscle size. To lose fat, eat fewer calories and fuel yourself smarter. Cut down on refined carbs, measure healthy fats a little more precisely, and get in adequate protein and fluid. Use heavier weights to build muscle size and lighter weights for leaner muscles and strength building. Recommend a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate cardio. Genetics determines where we lose fat. Belly fat is easier to lose than fat in our thighs and rear end. A pound of muscle is denser and smaller than a pound of fat. Clients should expect to stay the same or even bump up a little bit on the scale if they're strength training and it's new to them. Focus on how clothing fits rather than a goal weight number. And muscle requires calories to maintain itself. So people with more muscle tend to be more metabolic and need more calories to maintain their gains. So they may be hungrier. Now that those questions are cleared up, we're ready to move on to our next lesson. I will see you there.